the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program, available as always on iTunes and at nfl.com/Shek.
S-H-E-K, Shek, Shek, Shek.
Well, title game Sunday in the books. Football fans across the globe got just what they wanted. Now, of course, only one of the two games was great, and I do think that one, the Seahawks and 49ers, will go down in the annals as one of the better title games ever played, punctuated by that phenomenal play, which has already been obscured by Richard Sherman himself. Sherman makes the great defensive play, the tip for the interception that sends the Seahawks to the Super Bowl, and then 30 seconds later completely obscures it. Or is it the media who has obscured it by paying too much attention to Richard Sherman's words after that play instead of the wonderful play he made in the wonderful game that preceded it? It's a little annoying. Anyway, listen, I don't want to get down about it. Rank is on his way up to Studio 66, but well. What a gift, a day after the gift that the football gods delivered to all of us football fans with those two title games. Seated in Studio 66 right now, the 2013 Shecky Award winner for Best Football Play and Guest, linebacker for the Green Bay Packers, A.J. Hawk. What's the poop, fella?
I don't know. It's great to be here in studio and see where all the magic happens. This is pretty amazing.
Is it better than you dreamed?
It's definitely better than I dreamed.
Yeah. First of all, I want to describe your outfit as I like to do. Let's do it. Show up to 66 with a sense of the moment. They understand that Colin Kaepernick wears his hat backwards, but Hawk is old school. He shows up in what is that?
A tie clip, too.
A tie clip. You got the skinny tie.
Ooh.
The checkered pattern that is in vogue today. You have you have two kinds. You got red shoelaces.
Shoelaces on brown shoes.
Wow, Hawk.
Ordered them on Amazon. I didn't know they had red laces.
It's terrific. And then it's punctuated by the new, what's that called? That peaked collar on your suit there?
Oh,
lapels?
That is, I don't know.
They look good, though. That's the bottom line.
Thank you.
How are you, Hawk? What's the poop?
I don't know. I would love to still be playing football right now. Obviously, there's only two teams playing, but that's how it goes. So I'm out here doing the rounds for a little bit.
All right, let's go through it. First of all, do you watch the games after you lose?
The first couple of days after you lose, I have no interest in watching any football, but I think as time goes, you want to at least peek at them, watch them a little bit. I'd say this championship Sunday, I watched them because I was coming in here to film some stuff with NFL Network, and you got to be informed of what you're doing, so I like to be prepared. I would say the week before, I kind of glanced at a little bit here and there. I didn't want to sit down and watch the whole thing like most people, but
first of all, let me interrupt you. At least two-thirds of the people who talk about football for a living around here don't watch the games. Don't hold yourself to that high a standard.
So. Okay, anyway. Well, that's good to know then. I mean, I felt like, if I had to come in, I was just doing something with Marshall Faulk and Michael Irvin, which, I tell you what, I talk about trying to match the energy in your voice and the passion you bring. Man, that guy Michael Irvin, he's on another planet. He was bringing it. I have a lot of respect for what he just did in the studio. I don't know when they'll air whatever we just shot, but man, that guy has some energy.
That's the M&M podcast. Right. Who did you like better? Look who just showed up late. It's Adam Rank, your old friend there. Sit down, Rank. Get caught up. We just began. How are we?
I'm doing great. I can't believe it. I saw it in the inbox that he was going to be in studio. I've been walking on clouds all morning.
I know. It's a dream come true, isn't it?
It really is.
We just are getting into it. We're talking about whether or not he watches the games. So watch the games.
Can I guess what he
does? On Sunday.
I guess he watched one of them. I bet he watched the morning game. And then bounced out, didn't watch the NFC.
Yesterday?
Yeah.
Well, I had to watch both. I told him I was trying to be a little bit informed. I'm filming some stuff with NFL Network, so
okay. That's
why I'm out here. I didn't want to go in completely blind and just give them cliches and say, oh, both teams played hard. They were working hard.
Hawk,
I don't want to do that.
We could make the small talk all day, but listen, let's be like pros here, and at least because we don't have you for that long here. And by the way, you did already say you're coming back out in the spring. That's when we really, I mean, listen, this is great, but in the spring, that's when you get into my car and we're going to take a spin around the streets of Los Angeles.
I saw something. I didn't get to watch any full things, but you, that's awesome. I want to do it.
I want to show you my Los Angeles talk.
You know? I want to see it.
Okay, good.
It's like Brad Pitt / George Clooney, those type of guys you're having dinner with?
Sure. Well, I mean, I was thinking more Linda Lavin and Coolio, but same difference. Now, listen, I want to talk about this, and then we can move on to the small talk about television, because we got a lot of movies and TV to get caught up on. We want to know about all those things with the Oscars coming up here. But real quick, I do want to talk about those games. First of all, Colin Kaepernick, now you saw him running around too. I don't want to rub salt in the wound. That's why I would imagine if there's any reason you aren't inclined to watch the football games after you lost, it's because of Colin Kaepernick. Nightmares, true or false? You've had nightmares since that game in Lambeau.
I mean, like I said before, I think as time goes, it gets a little bit better. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if you want to call them nightmares, but for sure, especially as football, the season's still playing and these teams are still going on. I see them, how awesome it is to see their post-game celebrations and how I know how good that feels. Yeah, it's very tough to watch. So nightmares maybe a little bit, of course.
Now why, and we'll get to Richard Sherman. Everybody's buzzing about this thing, and I have a million different thoughts, and I'm conflicted, and so we'll kibitz about that. But first, why not? Am I being too simplistic in my brain? When Colin Kaepernick gashes the Seahawks in the first half, I mean, it really looked like, and then on top of it, he throws that touchdown pass in the third quarter, which was, I mean, you know, I don't know how to describe. I mean, unlike anything I've ever seen in a football game, he's not on his feet and he drills a throw like that was, like I say, I've never seen anything like it before. So why, if you're Greg Roman, much ballyhooed offensive coordinator, why do you not have Colin Kaepernick moving on every single play? At the very least, to apply the pressure. As you as a defender, are they spying him at the second at halftime? Do they go in the locker room and say, listen, we got to just spy him and take that running option away? Why did we not see him continuing to run?
Well, you can try to spy a guy like that, but I was just telling some guys downstairs, if you're spying Colin Kaepernick and you have a guy in the middle, which I'm sure they did at times, say he's standing in the middle 3 or 4 yards off the ball and your job is to sit there and spy on Colin. He's so fast and his stride is so long. If he takes off outside, they don't have contain, their outside rushers peek inside, it doesn't matter. The spy's not going to catch him. It doesn't matter who it is. I mean, if you put a corner or someone to spy, which you're usually not going to do, it's going to be hard to get him down. He's so big. So that sounds great in theory, but it's probably not going to work as much as you would like it to. You need to have great discipline on the outside. Have those guys keep him in the pocket. That's all that matters. I mean, you hate cliches. Believe me, so do I. But if those guys, say those outside rushers, get way up the field or they peek inside, all he needs, you can watch. It happened against us. That's how he makes plays. Whenever you think you might have him bottled up for 3.5 quarters, and all of a sudden, one play, bam, he takes off, gets 58 yards or something yesterday.
So then why didn't that? So why not at the very least? Even if he's not, it's not a designed run. Even if he's never going to take off with the ball. If you run it at the edge of the defense, if you run it at the tackle, essentially, doesn't that then make the defense have to commit a guy to stop that from happening and then open it up downfield for him? What am I missing?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, the thing, I'm trying to give Seattle some credit for shutting them down and their guys being disciplined players to stay in the lane and not get up the field. And I'm sure they did try to do that, but as long as you stay outside, then they might have had one or two guys with their eyes peeking back on Colin while they're sitting in zone coverage or something, or a spy guy, so he doesn't have all that room to run. And then try to make him beat you through the air, which he almost did. And Richard Sherman obviously tipped that ball, and they got an interception to end it. So, Colin marched down the field in that last drive. That would have been, someone was just saying that if he would have completed that ball, that would have been almost like the catch, you know, back in the day at Candlestick.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, and it was deja vu, too, because that's exactly – I mean, they were a little bit closer in the Super Bowl, but that's exactly the way their last season ended, too, was throwing a pass, a fade in the end zone there to Michael Crabtree and coming up a little bit short.
I think they can take that play out of the playbook.
That's a good idea.
That one doesn't work in the fourth quarter. Just be like, we're not calling that.
Yeah, never again. Now, what
but
about
– But it does seem, though, because you're right. When you watch it, is there just something subtle going on? Because it seems – I think most people – who are sitting in sports bars and doing all that stuff, like, he's not running anymore. Did you notice something like, oh, wait, Seattle's now doing this to him in the second half?
I don't think people a lot of times will think that a defense or an offense is going and make these crazy changes. Like, you're not going to reinvent the wheel. You have 12 minutes literally at halftime. Guess what? After guys go in, take a leak, get some oranges, drink some water, redo your tape on your gloves. You have like a minute for your defensive coordinator to talk to you. So, no, there's not a whole lot going on. But they could have, you know, they had different things that you can switch up and call. And it's just that they played better in the second half than the first half on Seattle.
What do they say? That's interesting to me. So who does the talking at halftime? Is it your DC or is it the head coach?
It just depends on the team, but at least what we do in Green Bay, we come in, everyone, you get a couple minutes, like I said, take care of your business, and then defense meets on one end, offense meets on the other, offensive coordinator talks to the offense, says whatever they want to say, usually yelling, cussing, crazy things, and defensive coordinator talks to us, puts up some slides of some plays that maybe that beat us, how we're going to combat that. It's usually just a breakdown in one or two guys. It's nothing that we're going to change drastically. And then the head coach will bring you up, give you a little pump talk.
Does somebody from the offense ever come over and yell at you? Like, come on, what are you doing? Or vice versa?
I haven't seen that in Green Bay, luckily, but that goes on, and that's usually what causes some fighting on a team, some infighting. If the offense is saying, do your job, defense, or the defense is yelling at the offense, why don't you guys score and try to hold on to the ball and don't fumble? Guess what? You're going to have a full team brawl in the locker room. You don't want that.
That's what I talked to Terrell Suggs last week because I'm a name dropper. I bring it up. Yeah. And also because I want to say, I asked him, you know, that Ravens defense was always known to carry the offense until, I guess, last year. I said, does it ever bum you out, being a guy who likes to shoot your mouth off Suggs, does it ever bum you out that you have to sort of toe the company line and be like, hey, we're a team, and we win as a team? When it's like, well, clearly we're carrying this thing. Does that come up? Do you guys ever argue about that? It never has happened in the Green Bay
locker
room.
No, we don't sit there and argue about it because it's not an exact science. It's not black and white like that. But sometimes, believe me, sometimes there's great defenses. They're going to need their offense to carry them. And in Green Bay, we have a little guy named Aaron Rodgers back there. So chances are the offense is going to be pulling their end of the bargain. We don't have anything to complain about.
In Lambeau a couple weeks ago against the 49ers, it was bitterly cold. It was a grand environment, by the way. I was watching on the TV, but it looked splendid. I wanted the game to go to overtime, not just for your sake, Hawk, not just because now we blatantly wear it and then we root for AJ Hawk's team to win games because you're the Shecky Award winner.
Ooh.
But, Rank makes a noise like he disagrees. Why'd you make that noise?
Chicago fan.
I root for AJ Hawk, the man.
Yes.
Chicago Bears, the team.
Yes.
Right.
That's not, I don't know. All right, that's cool. I like you to be honest. No jive, Rank.
No jive.
I like that you're look Hawk in the eye and tell him the bit give him what for.
And the last time you were on after the game against the Bears, and I said, hey, you know what, good luck to you. All the Chicago fans got on like, how dare you?
You can't make everybody happy. I see Damashek retweeting some awesome things people say to you sometimes because you seem to ruffle a few feathers when you talk about the Steelers or your sarcastic tweets about something. I know you guys would love this. It's a great game, but we all know it would have been much better if the Steelers were in it or something. Like your awesome, dry, sarcastic tweets that when people don't get and then you retweet them, that's my favorite thing. It's like what Colin Quinn does. I watch Colin Quinn mess with people on Twitter all the time. So
everybody,
it's beautiful.
Everybody on Twitter gets sarcasm.
And then people, you're an idiot, Y-O-U-R. Yeah, I get a lot of that. I get a lot of that. Anyway, Hawks, all right. So in Lambeau, it's freezing. Did you go into the locker room at halftime and drink a coffee or a hot cocoa?
I drink a ton of coffee, but I did not at halftime, no.
What do people do to warm up then?
Nothing. Sit there in the heat. Some guys might go in the sauna. I usually take my helmet, and if it's a home game, away games, you don't have a sauna. But we have a sauna like near our locker room. I'll put my helmet in the sauna at halftime, try to warm that thing up a bit.
That's a good idea. Yeah. But nobody has like, hey, get me a tomato soup.
No, they have a lot of teams have chicken broth on the sidelines where you can see guys drinking it. I've never had it for some reason. I don't know why. I've never never tried it. But
Do you guys have Clay Matthews Campbell soup?
We do not. I'm sure Campbell's would love that, but don't mess with the Shield, man. We don't know. Well, I guess they are a sponsor of the league, so maybe we could. Let's send Clay a text and see what we can do for next year.
That's a great idea. You know, get in Clay's ear and say, listen, I just want 20% of this action, and then 5% of that goes to Black Tie, who put it in my ear in 66.
Jake, we have it. You're recording this.
And
so
by the way, if that happens, though, my name's on it, so I get a piece of your action, Black Tie. Listen, that's how it goes.
Everybody
wins.
It's
a big money grab, Hawk. So, all right. So was,
except
how was
for
it?
Me.
Yeah, well, I'll kick a little something to you. I'll kick a can or two of
there you go.
Of the soup to you. Now, listen, Hawk. I want to know about, so because this is still a story. I got hammered, as you mentioned. A lot of people. I said, of course, it's reckless speculation. Hawk, what do I know? I'm taking a guess. It's a 50-50 proposition. What's going to happen? Right. So I said, listen, I don't think Tom Brady or Peyton Manning are going to win the Super Bowl this year. Now I'm getting hammered by the Broncos fans. Eat crow, Damashek, you jerk. Hey, you creep. You know, you don't know. Now, for the record, I didn't say Peyton Manning couldn't get to the Super Bowl. I just said he wouldn't win it, and that was sort of predicated on the idea that it was going to be cold in Denver, which it wasn't, so he got two games in the warmth there. But, Bill, listen, again, no jive. Isn't that for real at some point that the cold? This is what it comes down to for me. Now, this isn't a charge against Peyton Manning, I guess, but it's really about the way that offense goes and what makes that Broncos offense at its best is when the conditions are pristine. And I would think a good, hard-hitting defense is probably better served being in that cold weather. So, to me, this Super Bowl really does come down to what the weather is. I mean, if it's 10 degrees, I'll take the Seahawks. If it's 60 degrees, I'll take the Broncos. Is that fair or no?
I think it's very fair what you're saying. I don't think it – I don't know if you're trying to say you're putting on Peyton playing in the cold. I don't think it's as
not
much him.
Not necessarily.
I think you hit on it when you said the great defense of Seattle. So when it's terrible weather, cold is one thing. But when it's really windy and say it's really – there's a lot of snow on the ground, I think that – the great defense will do a little bit better. People always say, well, the offense has an advantage because they know where they're going, and us as defenders, we're going to slip. Yeah, but I think if there's snow on the ground, yeah, it might help out the Seahawks a little bit more just because they're so physical. And Denver will have a hard time, you know, playing four and five receivers. If you watched yesterday, whatever the play when Wes Welker got Aqib Talib hurt, definitely not intentional. I heard talk about that. No, I mean, what do you mean? If a team plays man, if they're manning up, you run crossing routes, and they get naturally picked, and that happened. So I know what you're saying. You're very valid with what you're saying, but I don't know. It's football. 2 weeks till it happens.
You know what it is with Hawk, Rank? He doesn't jive. He's a delight.
First of all, I just spoke for 2 minutes and didn't say anything. So I'm
sorry.
I was
just going to charge you with that.
What did I say?
That's the key.
Nothing.
He said
I just
nothing.
Did what
he said,
I told
yeah.
you.
You
I
made
didn't
a
say.
Point.
I said you're right. Actually, I said
you didn't even
you're
say
the
he was
man.
Right.
I'm in your studio on your turf, and you're the man. That's all I said.
You're
you
political.
Didn't even, he didn't even say you were right. He just said you made a point.
I just did what I tell other people how dumb I am. I was like, I'm sorry, man. I'm not even smart enough to. Sometimes, if you guys watch The Office, Michael Scott says that sometimes he just starts talking and halfway through it, he doesn't even know what he was talking about. He just keeps going.
Oh, listen, this podcast, thanks to yours truly, has devoted countless hours to doing exactly what you just did.
Hey.
A lot of reckless speculation that leads to not much of anything. All right, now listen, Hawk. Yeah, but I will give you credit. I've said this to Rank before too, Hawk. When you ask him about any player or any team that is not the Packers, you get very political. You
do
know
I?
You're a master with that. They should really hold up these podcasts that you've done with us as an example to players coming in. Listen, we don't want to come anywhere close to controversy.
You mean because you're trying when you try to bait me into saying something about other teams
what?
Or other players?
Well, like Roddy White last week said, Richard Sherman and the Seahawks are front runners.
Did he?
He said, well, if you get up on them, they go quiet real fast.
Isn't that everybody though?
I guess so.
Like, who now, would be talking still when they're losing?
Fair enough. But Hawk is a master at dodging ever weighing in on, like, I think this guy's better than that guy if he's not on your team. All right, then, mm-hmm. Hawk. Let's talk about something
you
that you do
open
up
set him up
about.
With questions about, like, Dana Brody and get him talking, and then you slide in the Richard Sherman question. Right
yeah,
right in
back
between.
Back door it. All
there
right, well,
go.
Let's talk about TV and movies. What movies nominated for the Oscars have you seen so far?
Probably none of them. I saw Captain Phillips. Is that nominated?
Yeah, I'm assuming it's
Captain
nominated
Phillips
on
pretty
some
good.
Level.
Wait, that's the only one I've seen, honestly. I just got here last night. I'm clicking through the movies. I saw Captain Phillips was on there, and so was Gravity. I haven't seen Gravity.
Gravity's good. Gravity's worth seeing, although I didn't see it in 3D. I hear that's the way to see it.
I don't like 3D.
What do you think about Captain Phillips?
I loved it.
Did you?
Tom Hanks is great. Well, let me strike that from the record. I liked it.
I didn't like his accent.
I was pumped. But, you know, even Tom Hanks, who I literally think is the greatest actor of this time. He really is. Even Tom Hanks, when he started yelling at the Somali pirates, his accent was gone. Because you can't really yell in an accent. When he was in Forrest Gump, he yelled a few times back to the drill sergeant, and he yelled as Tom Hanks. So you can't If I can find that actor that can yell in an accent, which might be you or you, Rank.
No,
I don't know.
I don't know.
One of you two can probably do it, but it's true. He yelled at him like, oh, where'd that Boston accent's gone there, Tommy? So I don't know.
What do you think?
No disrespect to him, though. He's the man.
That's a little nuance I'm going to start working on. Yelling in accents.
I thought it was a little bit. What I couldn't believe was that
sick
that's a
watching
true
the
story.
Boat. I know.
Why is that? I mean, it was held up as an example of American might at sea. But really, was that hard to defeat those Somali guys?
I know.
That's what stood out to me. Like, what is going on? Wait, they get him out of the boat and they get him back in, and they put him in the life or in that whatever that thing, and they get him out. But then the Somali guys get him back. What's going on? What's the incompetence with our Navy? This is disconcerting to me going forward.
It's a tough shot.
I don't know how you come on. You drive on a tiny little skiff, and you just let me toss this ladder up and climb on this monster tanker. I mean, I've watched. Whale Wars, the show where they where those guys go board those Japanese boats. So, yeah, I mean, how is that real? How did that happen?
I agree with you. Like,
just take a baseball bat and hit them right in the head when they're coming up the ladder.
Did you see Lord of the Rings, Two Towers?
I haven't seen any Lord of the Rings.
All right, well, you've seen it in all those, or in Braveheart,
yes,
or any of those other ones when they get the ladder up on the thing. I'm always surprised, like, well, why don't the guys at the top of the fortress just push the ladder back over? Like, yeah, we can't come up. Why just keep pushing it over? But right,
just
this is one ladder.
It's
this
one
is one.
Tiny
how
ladder.
Can everybody get up the ladder? Just have a guy at the top of it with a hammer and like bonk them when they come up. Bonk on the head.
And
now you can't come up.
I know I'm not. I wasn't there, and so I can't act like I'm a tough guy. But you know those Somali pirates can't fire those AK-47 in a little skiff while they're moving. You think they're gonna hit you? But I mean, I shouldn't say that either. Are you kidding me? I'm not going to stand out there when a guy's shooting at me. I don't care what he's doing. So, yeah, I understand. I just wish, yeah, I honestly started to get a little bit sick when I'm watching them ride around in the little lifeboat, and it was so dark, and they're all sweaty. I'm just thinking, oh, my goodness, this guy is tough as nails.
That's what was good, is that it humanizes the bad guys, and you can empathize with their plight, and that's the thing. But still, all right, when they pull their little boat up next to the big old tanker thing, I don't. Maybe they should just have like a resident skunk in a cage and just like, oh, they're bad guys. And just throw the skunk down into the boat, and that's the end of the trouble right there. Like something to that effect.
Bag of snakes, anything.
Yes,
I'm scared of snakes.
That's a great idea.
Just a big bag of snakes. Dump the, and what if Tom Hanks started to dump the snakes?
Get
and
the
just
snakes.
Started dumping them.
What's the big SOS about? Like, yeah, just get the snake bag. Cap.
You know? Here's
jokes
some tarantulas.
Yeah.
All right. That's it, Hawk. We got that's it. Black Tie is killing our fun. He's decided it's time to
me?
End it. Why don't you want to Hawk to stay? You're not entertained by Hawk?
He has a schedule. He has lunch, actually. He has lunch, at noon. So yeah.
All right. Go eat your fancy lunch. What are you going to have? Sushi?
Fancy. I'm in L.A. What am I supposed to have? You tell
sushi.
Me.
Sushi. That's
no.
it. Why?
I used to like sushi. I've been down on sushi for like a year.
Because you live
maybe
in
this
Wisconsin.
Is the place to get back. There's good sushi in Wisconsin.
No, there's not.
I'm telling you.
No, there's
I'm
not.
I'm telling you.
No.
People from all over
says.
Come there.
No, because you get that from people from Colorado. Colorado's got great sushi.
I don't have. I know my schedule, so I don't have to go if you guys don't want to boot me right now. But what I'm saying is.
Oh, he's overriding you.
I'm over. No, not you, Black Tie. Not you.
Totally fine, AJ. Totally fine.
Guess who I flew out here with? Myself. I don't have a entourage or a PR person. I don't know anybody. So people, let me just riddle me this, Damashek. So you're telling me, say you go get sushi right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like my sushi. I like spicy tuna rolls.
Okay.
Or just tuna sashimi.
Great.
Guess what? They're not sticking a pole out of the pier over in Santa Monica and catching that tuna and bring it to my plate right here. You know that, right? It's
I
all
like
flash frozen in Japan all over and flown over here. So they fly right to Wisconsin just like they do right to California.
I don't know if that's true or
I don't
not.
Think that's
I can't.
Accurate.
I don't either know if that, I don't know. I'm speaking garbage. This is just gibberish.
You just
that's what I'm just making this up, and I'm sure I'll get a bunch of heat for it. But the thing is, doesn't it sound like a logical question?
That sounded
question?
Really good.
The sushi lobby is going to be hitting you on Twitter.
My assumption is that
what do you think?
I my thought is that somebody's out there in Lake Michigan pulling the fish out and throwing it on your plate outside of Lambeau Field.
I don't eat spicy catfish rolls, so no. What do you mean? I mean, that's just my.
You make an
question.
Interesting point.
I didn't think about that until I got to Wisconsin. I was like, this is legit sushi. I'm telling you. My wife lived here. She went to school here. And she even said she loves sushi. And she says, I'm pleasantly surprised. There's multiple places that do it as
all right,
well.
Then Mexican food.
Not as much. It's decent in Wisconsin. There's pretty good stuff. But I think you really do need to be down south, maybe San Diego here, somewhere in Texas. Yeah.
Get some nice.
That's legit.
LA is not south enough for you. You're like, nah.
LA is south. Well, I'm saying you probably is it. There's a good Mexican food here.
I'm kidding. You know what's funny is I'm because I grew up about 60 miles east of here, and
really?
I didn't know
you're from out here. What about you?
I'm from Pittsburgh, PA.
Yeah. What am I talking? I didn't know you're from out here.
Yeah. Okay. This is where I grew up.
Now you want sushi? Go into those three rivers. Whew.
But it's you'll notice the nuances of just being 60 miles east of here. I find the Mexican food much better than in Los Angeles.
Really?
I don't know that you'll have time to go out and enhance it, but you can still go. There's still some great places around here.
I see. I'm not picky. My wife gets upset with me. I honestly care more about the atmosphere of the restaurant than I do the food. People are like, oh, what do you want to eat? I don't care. They have grilled chicken. Great, I'll take it. I want to go and sit there and just look around and say, man, this is amazing. Like, my booth is nice, leather booth, a sweet table, the waiter's nice, and just sit around. I can eat anywhere. I don't care.
It's an experience.
I'm not picky at all. I'm all about the atmosphere. Food, I don't really care.
Hawk, a couple questions for you. I don't want to hold you up because
He already overrode what he just said about sushi 5 minutes earlier by saying, I don't care about the food.
It's
what do you mean?
You know what they do great out here, Hawk? You know what's
actually... Jedi mind tricks.
You know what's interesting?
You guys are way too intelligent for me. I can't even keep up. My brain doesn't understand what's happening.
As a Midwestern fella, you probably would be surprised to know this because you're probably informed by Woody Allen movies, you know, denigrating the kind of food that is served in Southern California. Everybody here is not a health nut. Well, a lot of people are, but what they love are their burgers. They make great burgers out here. You should go get one
of
those.
Are you saying the corporos like In-N-Out?
No.
You're going there? You're talking like mom and pop shops?
Both.
Okay.
Both. They're independent, great bars that make great burgers, and then there are the In-N-Outs.
I'm
going to
say something that's going to make you very upset with me, especially if you're Pittsburgh roots.
Yeah.
Now, Rank, I don't know. He's from out here.
Don't you do it.
I'm not going to know this about myself. I haven't had a burger or red meat in like 5 years, 4 or 5 years now.
What's wrong with you?
Red meat?
Know. Yeah.
Your last name is Hawk.
I know.
Shame.
I know.
You.
I don't know if I've said it, but it's not like it's a big deal. I've tried all kinds of things, but I love chicken. I eat chicken, shrimp, fish.
That's it. That's like cannibalism. You're Hawk and you're eating
bird. Chicken. No, I don't cook the chicken. Just right up, boom, eat it. Or I tell my wife, hey.
Like Rocky, chases it around, catches it, eats it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, people get real. You know how mad people get at me when I tell them? And my wife and I are the worst dinner guests you could ever invite. And I tell people, you don't want us. Trust me. My wife doesn't eat any meat or any fish. She only eats shrimp and then cheese quesadillas. I don't know. She had a bad – I cooked her chicken our first year in Green Bay on the grill. She claims I didn't cook it enough. She's been done with meat 8 years now.
Oh my god!
All right, I want to bounce back to something quickly about the cold.
But I'm upset. Go that ahead. He looked at when you put that out there. You're like, you won't be upset because I'm from California.
So you know they're all like,
he's already
because you're probably vegan, aren't you? Are you vegan?
See this is upset.
I know stereotypes are horrible, especially when I do the vegan, gluten free situation.
I mean, I am vegan, but that's not no,
okay.
I'm not
Hawk. About the cold, how bad was it? Was it rough playing in that game? Was that the worst conditions you've been in?
No, not even. It might have been top three or four, but no, because it all depends on the wind for us. In the cold, and I don't wear sleeves. I've never worn sleeves in a game, and it's not about being tough or anything. It's just my arms are fine. Your arms don't matter. It's your hands and your feet.
It looks sweet, though, when you're not wearing sleeves.
Yeah, with my super pale German skin, it does not look good.
I think, no, that's what makes it look even better. But Colin Kaepernick wasn't wearing sleeves in that game. When you guys saw him run out there, were you like, oh, that's pretty badass? Or is it like, oh, this guy's fronting?
I honestly didn't have an opinion either way. I didn't really notice.
Not at all.
I didn't because it's not like – I don't look at a guy if he's wearing sleeves like, oh, man, we got him. We got him. We're intimidating him. No, because I've seen some absolute monsters look like they're freezing cold, sleeves on, basically wearing huge mittens, and they come out and kill us. So it doesn't matter to me.
I assume you're biased because you play your home games in Lambeau, but I do get a lot of people saying, oh, you know, heaven forbid that because I support outdoor games and I love the weather and its effect on these games. And then people will say, oh, heaven forbid that that the best team wins on a pristine field, being sarcastic with me. But listen, you can't put a dome on every stadium, or is that the right way to go? I like the elements being a factor.
I do. I like the elements being a factor for the game. I think for watching on TV, especially for people
aren't,
and you know the draw that the Super Bowl is, so many people watch the Super Bowl that don't watch football during the regular season. People that aren't even really fans of football will watch the Super Bowl just because of the spectacle and everything around it. And I think it'll be cool for them to see these novice fans to see, like, wow, these guys, this is pretty crazy. Especially if we have a big snow game or something in New Jersey, man, that'll be awesome. So
yeah, that's right. Them, that makes it more memorable if it snows
exactly.
or it's frigid.
They'll say,
be,
oh, that's the cold one. That was the one. You won the cold Super Bowl. You know, that's kind of what it's going to be like for these guys that win it, I think. But what I don't think it works for is the fans that are going to the game, because think about the Super Bowl. First of all, it costs $1 billion to get a ticket. So the majority of the stands are corporate people.
Yeah.
Like, my dad's been to a few Super Bowls with his company and sat there for – he could care less about the teams, but they take, like, 20 clients that win a trip or something. And so that's who's going to be sitting outside. And why – no, I don't want to do that. Why would you want to go sit out and – you know, it could be zero with a huge wind chill, and you're going to be sitting outside when you really aren't a fan of either team. So that's what I think it's going to be tough for, but obviously they're still going to sell the place out.
I think that might actually work in the fans' favor this year, is that you will get a lot of people who are corporate sponsors who would have an instance like that where it's – if it's at the Lucas Oil Stadium, like, yeah, I'm going to go in and hang out in a dome. But then you'll have people who are like, you know what, I really don't care about these teams. Like, I don't want a ticket. And they, you know, people – it gets kicked back.
Yeah,
that's
a great point. You're right. It might get to the true fans a lot easier now. You're right. Yeah, so that's a good thought you had
there.
It is
the worst part of the Super Bowl is when you're – I literally was at the Steelers-Seahawks Super Bowl, and there were people sitting directly in front of me, a couple of guys, and they literally had conversations about, why is the clock stopped? It was the two-minute warning. Why is the clock stopped here? Why are the guys on punt coverage downing the ball at the one? Why do they get the ball at the one there? Listen, there should be a minimum standard quiz. You do not get admission if you don't know some basic
facts. When they pat you down for guns and drugs now, they need
also,
to
get
three
questions.
Three or five questions very quickly.
There's a photo of Russell Wilson.
No, it's a picture of A.J. Hawk. That's what it is. Who is this? If you don't know this man, then you're not. Then you don't know
four
enough.
People in the stands. My dad, my uncle.
Let me ask you this, Hawk. Kamish Goodell is on Rich Eisen's podcast at this very moment.
Is he?
While you're here with us. Now listen, I'm not going to jive you. I'd say it to his face. Why? Because I don't jive. If given a choice, Kamish Goodell or A.J. Hawk, I take Hawk. Eisen made his choice.
Oh.
Now let me ask you this. If Kamish Goodell sees you, does he say, hey, A.J., how are you? Or does he say, hi, nice to meet you?
I saw him about I saw him about 45 minutes ago. He was walking through, and it was hilarious. We were doing a thing with Benjamin Watson and Mooch. Mariucci is the guy. And so he comes up, and I can feel him behind me, Goodell. And I don't think I've ever officially met him. And Watson comes up and, like, shakes his hand, like, pulls him in for the hug. And then Mooch gives him the hug. And I'm like, oh, gosh, this is going to be weird. And so I just threw that hand out there, and I didn't give him the chance. There's no way. I don't think he knew who I was. I just give him, how you doing? A.J. Hawk, say it real quick. You know, don't give him a chance. I don't want him to feel weird, you know, because he sees a million people. And then the best part was, he's like, all right, guys. He said hi to them, and he walks out, and probably 14 people come filing in behind him, like all his entourage. And that's when Benjamin says, and they talk about players having entourages. And I was like, yeah, man, look at this guy is rolling 15 deep through here. So, yeah, it's he's a powerful man.
It was weird. I ran into him in the restroom.
Oh,
like,
did
it's
you?
Just not.
Is that
you
true?
Yeah.
Hopefully, he shook his hand. Right.
It's not. I went for the hug.
Oh.
But it's not what you expect on a Monday morning, and you're like, oh, hey. Like, I didn't even get out, like, hello, commissioner, or anything. I'm like, hey, and I just.
I saw him at a couple of Super Bowls ago, and he had just finished his workout. I guess he's fairly well known for working out in the AM. And I saw him on the escalator in all his sweaty workout gear, followed by the same entourage.
No.
Did they just stand there?
They stand there like in suits to the waiter when they're black.
Wait, what was the entourage wearing?
I think there were a couple of guys in workout-y kind of stuff, but, like, do the other guys just stand there for support
you know,
or
like,
watch
no,
them?
No, he makes them work. It's like when George Dubs goes on when he used to go on the runs throughout D.C., all of his Secret Service has to get their sweats on and just run next to him.
Did you say to him, Kamish, listen, great season, but after what happened in Lambeau against the Steelers with that terrible change of possession thing, we need to address this reviewable play thing. Because really, even though it went the Packers' way, I'm a man of justice, and I would like for the Steelers to get the ball there the next time. Because that really was the worst call.
Well, you're right. I am a man of justice, but no, I would never say something to sabotage my own team.
Did he?
The Packers.
But so did Hawk. Did he go like, of course, AJ. Of course. When you said, hi, AJ Hawk, did he say, hey, great to see you, AJ? Of course I know you.
He repeated, well, hey, AJ. Like, you know. No, there's no way he knows me. Like, unless he knows me from getting fined for doing stupid things over the years, that's possible. I mean, he might just think he's a pain. I'm a pain.
He must know, Hawk.
He's got to know you.
Get a black tie. Get Goodell on the phone. Get him up here.
I want to make sure. His phone. Don't make him. You know, I pride myself in not making other people feel awkward in that situation because I feel awkward all the time.
No, that's what
what's up, man? You got to call everybody man or something, you know?
Hey, we'll settle
buddy.
All hash
yeah, hey,
tonight.
Bud.
We'll today. We'll just get Goodell up here in the four of us will kibitz. We'll solve everything. Listen, football is wonderful. We were reminded of that with that wonderful NFC title game yesterday. But there are some things that can be improved upon. If you get Goodell in here, the four of us don't leave 66 until they're all solved. You understand?
Yeah.
I think we could do it.
Yeah, I don't know about that, man. There's a lot of there's a lot of money at the NFL.
What? Has. So? Right.
Roger Goodell is in charge of billions and billions of dollars worth of franchises, and he's answers to these owners, I guess. Owners seem to like him, don't they?
Do you like my idea that the kicking game, it's taken on too much influence now in the game? The guys can make these 57-yard field goals with too much ease, in my opinion.
So what's the answer?
I feel that we should go back to the days, first of all, ban sidewinding kickers. Head-on kickers only. You know
soccer
what I mean.
Style.
Soccer style.
I kicked. I toe-bashed it. Yeah, I grew up doing pump-passing kick competitions.
You could be the Packers kicker.
Toe-puncher, yeah.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
The rule is you have to play five downs from the line of scrimmage to be eligible to kick. This removes. Why have a specialist guy? This guy who has no effect on it, has no impact any other place on the field, but he's 5'6". Oh, yeah, run him out there to decide the game. It goes against the spirit of the sport.
So you're saying
see?
If you make that guy play five plays from scrimmage,
then you wouldn't have little
guys. You
wouldn't
guys. Have little specialists
it
like
would
him.
Be A.J. Hawk. And then he goes head on.
I think I could play longer. Yeah, I like it.
That would be
the more you can, you know, they always say the more you can do.
That's right. See, that's a great idea.
And then I'll practice like long snapping when my leg goes bad, and hopefully I can be a long snapper.
What about this? The other, well, I have many theories on ways to improve the game. What about this? Go old school. Let's bring the goalpost up to the goal line again, just because it would be fun to watch the goal line plays.
Oh,
wouldn't you
gosh.
if you're the offensive team, like all you do is just line up directly across from the goalpost and jump across, how the defense would have no answer.
You're right.
And the pick plays you could run around
can
the
goal.
Can
you imagine the concussions that would happen if that they could pad that thing as much as they want. Guys run 800 miles an hour across the middle and just boom right into the pole. That would be awesome. I agree.
Wow.
More entertainment. If you put that out there, if it brought more viewers bring more money.
Is Goodell on his way, Black Tie? Let's go.
Make it happen.
Well, this is broadcast through the whole building.
Just make
right?
sure Goodell hears
They're hearing this in the lunchroom.
I
right
figured
now.
For sure. Yeah, they all can hear you.
But there was a story about your guy, Don Hudson, back in the 30s and 40s mm-hmm. who played when the goalposts were on the goal line. And George Halas came out and said, I don't care if we lose this game. Don Hudson's not scoring on us. So he put three guys on him. So Hudson ran a slant, hooked his arm around the goalpost, spun around. The other three Bears go the opposite way. It's like a cartoon. And then boom,
hey.
Touchdown. So you run that play.
I'm telling you. It's like bringing little elements of the XFL back into the NFL.
And you put a crossbar across the top. Because so often it's hard to
judge. It's got
to
squeeze in between there?
It's got to go through the box.
Yeah. Now that. Ooh.
Then even short field goals aren't gimmies. Like, well, you kicked it too high. You kicked it straight over the box. You know,
I got a rule change. I want to get AJ's thoughts
that's
on this.
That's thinking inside the box. You
I
see what I'm saying?
I want to get on many levels.
Let's get AJ's thoughts on this. You see way too often nowadays, receivers always asking for flags.
Yes.
Always
yes.
asking for flags. This was a pandemic in soccer once when players would stand up asking for the yellow card.
Yes.
You know, and FIFA implemented a rule that, hey, in soccer, once you start, you know, asking for yellow cards, you get carded.
Really?
So, yeah.
Okay.
So now, because, I mean, the offensive part of the game in the NFL is already so, you know, overpowered. Should we now start handing out penalties to receivers asking for flags? Because it's getting too much, guys.
I agree. It's every single play. If there's an incompletion,
right.
then it equals the receiver begging for a flag.
You're right. I like that idea, especially being a defensive guy. But then would I get flagged when I get upset when a guy like Martellus Bennett, who's 6'7", pushes off of me into my face mask, even though he's already 9 inches taller than me, and his wingspan is like Michael Jordan.
No.
Do I get flagged if
no,
I ask
because
for
even when though Goodell
one,
gets
one time
up here.
I didn't catch the ball, but still.
But when Goodell gets up here,
Shut
you're the one giving him the idea, so you get a pass. That's you know what?
I don't think you're going to send that memo out to the refs.
You get grandfathered in.
I get grandfathered in.
Came up with it.
Last thing, Hawk. Last thing, because you got to go eat your lunch, and you have somebody outside the glass there. Oh, Allison now is waiting for you. Your handler today. Now listen. Real quick, what did you think of Dick Sherman's business after the game? I just want to say,
is that what he's going by now?
I think everybody, I think any Richard should go by Dick.
Well, yeah,
it sounds way
cooler. Uncle Dick. Yeah,
I just wondered what age Rich Eisen that Dick Eisen would have way more cachet.
Okay, I don't mean to make it longer, but at what age and what day do you decide to change your name to Dick? I have an Uncle Dick, and I've known him my whole life, Uncle Dick Newland, but his name's Richard. I didn't know his name was Richard until I was like 12.
You got to make it the whole way. Listen,
but I'm saying, when did he switch?
I'm William David, you see.
Yes.
I'm William David Damashek.
Okay.
Bill.
Not Bill, but I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Dave Damashek, whatever. No, that doesn't catch your ear. If I were Billy Damashek, then I'd have I'd be 10 times cooler than I am now.
Why don't you do it?
You think?
What it's too late now.
You're in L.A. Everyone does name changes.
Imagine if I were Billy Damashek. You know? That's I'm way hipper, right? I would seem way cooler,
Billy,
don't you think?
And you wear what you're wearing now, which is no jacket on, with a tiny little super skinny tie and little glasses.
Let me tell you why. It's the same thing. I've said this to the man. I'm going to name drop
hipster
again. I've said this to one Jimmy Kimmel, who sits atop the late night world these days.
Yes.
I said to him, can you imagine if you would have as a teenager, because most kids, they want to feel more grown up when they're 14, 16. They say, no more Jimmy. Just call me Jim Kimmel. If he were Jim Kimmel, I propose he would not be where he is right now.
You might be right. Honestly.
Don't you think he's Jimmy Kimmel? He seems like a fun guy, right?
He's doing so well because he's embraced the whole internet culture too. Right? He puts his stuff on YouTube. He doesn't try to hide it. He says he wants everybody to see it. Man, Damashek, I don't know about you. You guys get in the studio.
Savvy.
This thing does something to really expand your mind and make you a smarter person. But
now,
Richard Sherman.
Sherman.
I honestly don't have an issue with what he's doing. What I have an issue with is coming to him 20 seconds after he just made play of his life to get into the Super Bowl. I've been on the field when we won the NFC Championship when, you know, like all that hits you that you're going to go to the Super Bowl finally. And regardless of what he said, I don't ever think you should downgrade another player or say something about another player. But coming to a guy like that, I don't have an issue with like what people said. You want me to shut up and stop me? Then make me stop, you know, catch a touchdown on me. So when he's that good, you can do what you want. And I think it's one of those things we'll look back on, like we look back at Dion's videos of him dancing around and going crazy and doing rap videos, and you just laugh. Like, oh, that was amazing. So he'll sit here in 20 years, you know, hosting some show and say, man, that was really a character.
Yeah, you know what? And that's to see Hawk and Rank, you guys both like your wrestling. If the Reddit wrestling is popular,
he's probably going to go to WrestleMania next year now.
Everyone
he's going to host
knows
it.
That it's fake, and yet people watch because of the trash talking. Why that would not extend into the entertainment side of football? What do we want? Everybody who just says, you know, listen, I'm not diminishing Russell Wilson, but he was on this show, and I enjoyed speaking with him. But he does say, I said, Dad, isn't it better if you get the Saints up in your joint where it's rainy and raw? Doesn't that give you a big advantage? Like, I just enjoy competing against Drew Brees. I'm like, but I'm saying, isn't it better in the rain for you than being in their dome? Look, I try to go 1-0 every week, and it's an honor to play football. And that guy's like, all right, but you know what I'm saying. I like the heat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like I said.
I want more from you.
If the league was like me, man, how boring would that be? They wouldn't be making any money if everyone was just sat here and tried to be politically correct like I have been on this whole show.
All right, listen. Hawk, you're a delight, but I want you to know something. Yes, you won the 2013 Checky Award for best football
guest. It's 2014, so can I count?
That's right.
Does this count towards my
yes,
point?
It does. You're off
if
to
I
a
just
good
make
start.
The most appearances, hopefully I can win 20 in 2014.
That's not going to get it done.
Dang.
You're the rabbit right now. Listen, we're not even through January, and
Terrell
you made
Suggs,
it.
Though, man, I'm sure he's in the run. He's awesome. What a character. And what a big, scary dude. He can just threaten you and win it.
He's out of the running. You know why?
Because
I generously, at the end of the interview, offered him a gift. I wanted to give him a terrible towel from my personal collection.
Ooh.
I offered it to him. He rejected it. He wouldn't even touch it.
Really?
Wouldn't even touch it. Can you imagine that?
I would.
What kind
would
of etiquette is that?
I would take it. I'd give it to my daughter.
Oh, see, I wish I had
my
it
son. I had my one-year-old son sleep with it.
You know what?
Oh,
if I have it, I don't have it.
I would have brought, I would have.
Guess what? You want to know why? Because Packers can decide in 10 minutes they hate me, and guess what? If the Steelers want to give me a job, thank you.
goodbye, Rank. You'll find me on Cloud 9. Nay, Cloud 10. I'll be up there.
What about the Bears?
If that ever happens.
That's a little tougher for me.
No, I can't.
I love to be at the Green Bay. That's my favorite. It's a dream come true, but the truth is there's going to be a time when they don't want you. It's happened before with them. So with anybody, we all know our time is coming. So
we need you. We need middle linebacker. You'd fit in great next to Lawrence
studs,
Timmons.
Man.
You'd be great next there.
Come on. Hey.
All right, you go.
Hopefully I play for a long time in Green Bay.
All right, Hawk. Listen, a pleasure. But I don't want to go out with a challenge, but I just want to say appearances, quantity is not going to get it done in 2014.
I understand.
Because of you're a victim of your own success on the DDFP, I understand.
So, if I'm tired or I don't feel like talking one day and I come on and have a very poor performance.
That's not it. Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Look for your batting average.
They're Suggs. They're the Suggs of the world. They, you know, listen,
we got so many good guys.
We like Terrence Newman. He's a fun guy to talk with. Well, you know who else we like talking with? Ryan Clark. So, listen, there's a challenge for you. I want you to raise your game.
Can you
do it?
I'm going to do some more prep work and some more research before I come on next time about you, both of you guys.
All right. I'd like that.
Some good info.
When you come back out here, Hawk, this is the time. We've talked about it for some time. It's arrived now. Your old man has to get on the phone or, better yet, bring him with you.
Pistol Keith Hawk.
Can you bring the missus in?
Yeah, she'd love to come. She radio, TV broadcast. She lived out here. She's an
intern
for Fox.
That's perfect. And then we can convince her
to call you Hawk
around the house.
Okay. Now we're talking. Yes. She wants to come with me next time anyway. So, man, we need to get her in here. But we have to mute her. She likes to talk a lot, too. So we're going to have to, you have to turn her mic off every once in a while.
I'd love to hear what it's like, the life of being with a pro football player.
If you listen to her talk about me, it is, to me, it's even funny how ignorant she thinks I am. It's awesome.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So you would love it. You would enjoy it.
If it'll help, I'll bring in my wife, Rosie McGee, and she can explain how cool it is to call your husband by his last name.
That might put her over the top.
If she has somebody to commiserate with, this is the way to go.
Yes. And you guys are both highly successful media moguls.
Yes.
And that's when I'm post-football, I would like to do something in the media world.
Hawk, scram. You got to go eat your Mexican and or sushi lunch with Allison behind the glass.
Probably chicken with a little barbecue sauce.
Chicken. That's okay. Right. Yeah, have them cook it this
chicken
time.
Burger.
Just try it. They're doing some neat things with cooking.
Nope.
All right.
Wrong.
AJ Hawk, 2013 Shecky Award winner, number one in our heart.
David
I didn't want to say it with him in here, Rank, because I wanted the fire in his belly to keep going. But, I mean, how are you going to beat him for best football playing guy? He's going to get the Shecky in 2014 again, isn't he? I mean, I don't want to get crazy because we still have 11 months, but still.
No, because Russell Wilson could show up and just start shooting on everybody, taking a page out of Richard Sherman or Dick Sherman's book and doing something crazy like that. But right now, the leader in the clubhouse, without a doubt, is A.J. Hawk. As long as his dad doesn't tell him, because we know his dad listens to the show, so we'll be pleading to him. Don't let your boy in on this, but he's leading the way right now.
All right, so maybe, because we're going to wrap it up here pretty, everybody wants to spit out their thoughts on the two games and start kibitzing about these about the Super Bowl and this matchup, and it is a great one in terms of, you know, same as Frazier Ali, the styles make the matchup and all that, number one defense, number one offense, but we have a fortnight to do that, Rank, so I don't see any need to go on and on. I'm glad Hawk touched on it. The big takeaway from the AFC title game was the Wes Welker play, because once Tlaib went down, that essentially did end the game.
Second consecutive year that an injury to Aqib Tlaib has made a huge impact in the game. Not saying that the Patriots would have won both games, but definitely changed the complexion.
Another case of deja vu, because the Crabtree thing, the play, the Niners season ending in the corner, the right end zone, the right corner of the end zone.
Right.
But yeah, you're right about the Tlaib thing. But yeah, you know, you did get that sense by about, you know, the second quarter-ish that, while, you know, I mean, of course, we've been saying that for a long time, that Will Fork and Mayo were going to be hard losses to overcome, and it's remarkable that they got as far as they did. But once Tlaib went out, it suddenly then felt like, wow, they just have nobody out there. There's just nothing to slow down this offense, especially in the 60-degree weather and everything else. And I do still stand by what I say. It's not hate for Peyton Manning. I do think that that offense, the way he throws those wobblers, if it's windy and cold, I still like the Seahawks. Now, like I also say, if it's over 50, I could see Peyton hanging 50 on that defense. As good as it is, I could see them, him exercising all demons and that sort of being the story of that game, that he just goes out there and torches that defense.
But it seemed like he felt that he reached a milestone by winning that game, because if you look at it, like Cooper and Eli and Archie were all in that box. It was all a huge deal. I don't want to take it away, because it was a great performance. He played very well. I think he would tell you himself that he's got to win one more, and he's got to win the Super Bowl.
And I'll tell you, and one more thought, and we can, like I say, we'll project ahead about the two teams involved in the Super Bowl. But one last thing. I do tip my hat to Belichick and Brady and those guys getting as far as they did with, really, I mean, everybody had injuries, including A.J. Hawks, Packers, and everybody else suffers injuries. But, man, they suffered some big-name guys not Gronkowski. They're arguably their three best defenders not available by the end of the first quarter of the title game there. The other thing is, I think it's a phenomenal sort of contrast, a remarkable thing to look at, that Kaepernick, as dominant as he was, as special as he was, unique. You've never seen a player, a quarterback, do the things he was doing in the first half. Then in the second half, to just watch that ashen look on his face when he throws that pick, he gets that fumble and then he throws that pick, he looked lost and overwhelmed by the situation, to then bounce back and take him down the field at the end there and put him, you know, a ball that goes, if he puts a little more on it and he throws it about a foot taller there, now he's the hero of the Super Bowl. Remarkable stuff, and it's why we love football so much, right?
Second year as a starter, he's got a bright future.
I guess so, but you wonder, now he's come up short now in the big moment on those last-minute drives now. I wonder if that'll start to be
whoever,
a part of the story
between
now and
September. You go again with your narrative.
Whoever's writing that
one.
Narrative.
Come on, guys. Come
I love
on.
Him.
Come
I
on.
Believe
them.
Me, I think
I
he's the future, too. You know. Anyway, so all right.
Real quick, before we wrap up, I know we're all sharing Goodell meeting stories. I walked right past the man, no entourage, just me and him, man-to-man in the hallway.
You didn't have your entourage?
Him. No entourage for me, definitely none for him. And just me and him, and I tweeted that out, and a lot of people were asking about his body language. So quick body language breakdown on the commish. I would say calming, reassuring, slightly intimidating, though, in a kind way. In a, you don't want to, you know, disappoint him sort of way. But, yeah, it was good day. Good
wow.
Day.
I wish you would have wrangled him and brought him up here, because yeah. I really do think if we could powwow Hawk, Goodell, and the two of us, there would be no problems left going forward. 2014 and beyond, NFL would be entirely fixed. All right. Now Blacktie wants us to wrap it up. So we will do that. We'll be back later in the week. Any thoughts on a guest for later in the week before we ship out to New York City?
We're working on it. Just remember, always tweet the show, hashtag DDFP. And also, Damashek, Adam Rank, Matt Moneysmith, Molly Karam, hosting a Super Bowl live show, NFL.com Live, Super Bowl 48, live from New York. You can follow at NFL.com Live for more updates on that. We're counting down to the Super Bowl. We're doing some fun things with Rank. Damashek, your stuff is on there as well. So at NFL.com Live.
Wow.
So wait, the closing thought is that check it out, because Rank is doing some good stuff, and Dave's doing some stuff, too.
Dave's doing some stuff. We're doing a countdown with Molly Karam as well.
I get it.
Yeah, it's Dave.
You're
your stuff
clever.
Is going to be on there. Just check it out at NFL.com Live and hashtag DDFP.
Well, no thanks to Blacktie, but great thanks to our main man, A.J. Hawk, for jumping in here and kibitzing with us. He's probably now eating some sushi as we speak. Rank, glad you made it in here in time. I was worried sick.
Ooh, I was worried too. I had a couple of other commitments, and I was worried. I'm like, oh my gosh. I actually just said, you know what? I'm leaving.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. So, all right, we'll be back again, and we'll do a proper sort of preview of this Super Bowl coming up here, but we couldn't help ourselves getting swept up with our main man, Hawk, there. So thanks for indulging it. We'll be back with more Hooey and Applesauce in the meantime. Thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.